Welcome to episode 16 of Secret Grasp. Secret Grasp is a podcast all about the mysterious and difficult to explain aspects of life. We cover topics relating to the paranormal, occult, conspiracy theories, urban legends, cryptids, UFOs, ghosts, and other strange occurrences. You can find us on all of the major podcasting apps, and all of our links are available on our website at secretgrasp.com. So today I wanted to talk about Slender Man. Slender Man originated as a creepypasta on the Something Awful forums, and it was created by a guy named Eric Knudsen in 2009. Basically, there was a thread where there was a Photoshop contest where users were challenged to create paranormal-looking images, and Eric modeled Slender Man after the idea of the Men in Black. And since then, Slender Man's become a pop icon. There's even been movies and video games made about him. And there's been tons of Slender Man creepypasta stories written, fan art, and I've even seen people cosplay as Slender Man before, where basically they dress up as him. Basically, the character has really taken on a whole life of his own. Slender Man even inspired the Enderman enemy in the game Minecraft. And in Minecraft, the Endermen are basically enemies that appear at night, and they steal blocks and teleport around. And they generally don't attack the player unless you look at them, and then they become enraged and attack you. So, what is Slender Man exactly? So, he's depicted as a very tall man, usually 8 to 14 feet tall, wears a black suit with a featureless white face, and sometimes he seems to have tentacles coming out of his back. That was kind of added after the fact, and sometimes he's also had said to have arms that extend out unnaturally far. Most stories and accounts of Slender Man have him just kind of hanging out in the background, so it's like if you didn't look for him, you wouldn't even notice he's there. He's just kind of like creepily watching. And then there's also some stories though about him abducting people, stalking, or just traumatizing people, and especially children seem to feature in these stories. So basically, Slender Man has become whatever people want him to be. Some people describe him as hanging or swinging from trees using his tentacles, and there's all kinds of other accounts. These stories and legends have really kind of built upon themselves over time and generally make Slender Man more and more terrifying and powerful sounding over time. One characteristic of Slender Man that's described is a sense of calm around him, and this is something that actually goes back to vampire folklore. So they used to say that vampires could hypnotize or mesmerize people that look into their eyes, and Slender Man is said to have basically that same kind of effect on people. And there is a real-life impact that the Slender Man stories have had. If you haven't heard about it, there was a near-fatal stabbing of a 12-year-old near Waukesha, Wisconsin. I actually didn't remember that this happened in Waukesha until I started researching this story. So I guess Waukesha is now famous for two things. Daryl Brooks allegedly driving through the Christmas parade and killing 6 people and injuring 62 others, plus a couple girls stabbing people because Slender Man told them to. So the victim in this case was stabbed 19 times. Apparently, one of the stabs was to her chest, and it was within a millimeter of her heart. So if it was just barely missed, and if it was any closer, she would have died. So the girl that got attacked, her two attackers were two female classmates, and I'll just kind of read from Wikipedia about this account. So, quote, when questioned later by authorities, they reportedly claimed that they wished to commit a murder as the first step for becoming proxies for the Slender Man, having read about it online. They also stated that they were afraid of Slender Man and that he would kill their families if they didn't commit the murder. After the perpetrators left the scene, the victim crawled out of the woods to a roadway. Passing cyclists alerted authorities, and the victim survived the attack. Both attackers have been diagnosed with mental illnesses, but they've also been charged as adults and are facing up to 65 years in prison. One of the girls reportedly said that Slender Man watches her, can read minds, and can teleport. And experts testified in court that she also said that she conversed with Lord Voldemort and one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I shouldn't laugh, but yeah, I don't know. Very impressionable kids, obviously. On August 1st, 2014, she was found incompetent to stand trial, and her prosecution was suspended under the condition until her condition improved. Then on November 12th, 2014, a doctor judged that her condition had improved enough for her to stand trial. And then on December 19th, 2014, the judge ruled that both girls were competent to stand trial. In August 2015, the presiding judge ruled that the girls would be tried as adults, and they were tried separately. And then fast forward to August 21st, 2017, one of the girls, who is now 15, pleaded guilty to being party to an attempted second-degree homicide, but claimed she wasn't responsible for her actions on the grounds of insanity. And although prosecutors alleged that she knew what she was doing was wrong, the jury determined that she was mentally ill during the attack, and she will spend at least 3 years in a mental hospital. On December 21st, the Waukesha County Circuit Judge sentenced one of the girls, who was then 16 years old, to be hospitalized for 25 years from the date of the crime, which would keep her institutionalized until age 37. So they said they had all these conversations with Slenderman, basically, and they knew all these things about Slenderman. They said that he had a mansion in a nearby national park that they would go to once these murders were done. Apparently, they had planned these murders for about 6 months, which is surprising that over the course of 6 months, they didn't come across anything online that said Slenderman wasn't real. So it just kind of shows you how impressionable kids are. Maybe you don't want to tell your kid about Slenderman and have them murder their classmate. Just a suggestion. But anyways, the stabbing spawned a nationwide moral panic about Slenderman across the whole United States and other countries as well. Parents across the nation became worried about the potential dangers that the stories about Slenderman might pose to their children's safety. Russell Jack, who, that's an interesting name, he's like a reverse Jack Russell. He's the police chief of Waukesha. He warned that Slenderman stabbing, quote, should be a wake-up call for all parents, and that, quote, the internet is full of dark and wicked things, warning which numerous media outlets publicized. And after hearing the story, an unidentified woman from Cincinnati, Ohio, told a TV reporter that her 13-year-old daughter had attacked her with a knife and had also written some kind of dark stories involving Slenderman that the mother said motivated the attack. On September 4th, 2014, there was another 14-year-old girl in Port Richey, Florida, who allegedly set her family's house on fire while the mother and 9-year-old brother were inside. And police reported that the teenager had been reading online stories about Slenderman, as well as a manga called Soul Eater. And the sheriff's office said the girl, quote, had visited a website that contained a lot of Slenderman information and stories. It would be safe to say there is a connection to that, end quote. And then, so early in 2015, there was an epidemic of suicide attempts by young people aged 12 to 24 on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And in this case, again, Slenderman was cited as an influence. I'm going to mispronounce this name, but Oglala Sioux tribe president noted that many Native American traditions believe in a suicide spirit, which is very similar to Slenderman. And other Sioux describe what they call the big man, who's a messenger or a sign, a warning that society is developing in a dangerous direction. So that's kind of interesting that Slenderman has like cropped up in recent years when it does seem to me that society is going in a dangerous direction. So it's an interesting tie-in that maybe there's a reason that this is like come back up in our psyche. I don't know. Then in March 2016, there was a documentary film called Beware the Slenderman that was released on HBO. So basically, all this bad news about Slenderman kind of irreversibly altered the legend and the online community surrounding it. Previously, it had just been kind of like a creepy horror meme that people followed, but it kind of took on a life of its own and really became real. And people thought that Slenderman was like actually affecting the real world and causing this whole moral panic at the time. But meanwhile, the Slenderman character actually lost a lot of his original popularity. Most of the original blogs that once were devoted to Slenderman either shut down completely or they just became less popular. Slenderman's presence in the mainstream media and the popular culture also contributed to the decline in how frightening he seemed to many people. I guess they just got like desensitized over time to the idea. There were also, on the opposite end of the spectrum, there were a lot of benevolent portrayals of Slenderman, with many depictions of him as like an anti-hero who protected children from bullies and stuff like that, although he usually did this still by violent means. At some portrayals, he had a daughter named Skinny Sally, who was portrayed as a young girl covered in cuts and bruises, and Slenderman is sometimes portrayed carrying Skinny Sally on his shoulders protectively. There was an assistant professor of folklore at Utah State University observed that the increase in benevolent portrayals of Slenderman seems to have begun shortly after the stabbing in Waukesha, and it states that there was a trend towards a more benevolent Slenderman after that happened, and it may have been a reaction from fans as a result of the violent stabbing. They just wanted to kind of clear Slenderman's name and tell everyone that he was a good guy. Despite the decline in popular interest in Slenderman, there have been other commercial adaptations of the character, though. In 2015, there was a film adaptation titled Always Watching, A Marble Hornet Story. Basically, in 2016, Sony Pictures partnered with Mythology Entertainment to bring a Slenderman film to theaters. And the film generated considerable controversy when it was announced, with lots accusing that they were trying to capitalize off the stabbing that occurred. The father of the Waukesha stabbing actually said, quote, "It's absurd they want to make a movie like this. All we're doing is extending the pain of these three families have gone through." But this movie came out in August 2018. Or sorry, there was maybe it was a different movie that came out in 2018, just called Slenderman. It was declared a box office bomb, though. It didn't really get much marketing, and it got overwhelming negative reviews from critics. So it grossed several times the $10 million budget, but it wasn't like a huge movie. One reviewer said that it was a tasteless and inedibly undercooked serving of the internet's stalest creepypasta. Slenderman aspires to be, for the YouTube era, what The Ring was for the last grasps of the VHS generation, but there's one fundamental difference that sets the two movies apart. The Ring is good and Slenderman is terrible. So what is the possible causes of this Slenderman phenomenon? So we can say that Slenderman probably isn't real because he originated from a story. But like I said, it is kind of interesting that there's like native folklores going back about these like creepy tall people that are messengers that come to you during bad times. I wonder if there's some kind of truth to that. But basically, you could think of Slenderman as a tulpa. Like in the Sigil Magic episode that I did, I explained how strong the human mind is and how you can literally create things just by focusing on them and making them real. So that's kind of what I think happened with Slenderman. There's been so many stories about him, and he's on so many different people's minds that he's basically become like a deity, and he almost has like a minor religion onto himself. Slenderman could also be a demon or a spirit taking advantage of the Slenderman persona. And in the previous podcast episode about demons, I talked about how deceptive demons are and how they can masquerade as dead relatives or anything they want. So it's not out of the question that some demon would pretend to be Slenderman to influence people, as opposed to appearing to them as a demon. Somebody might be less receptive to talking to a demon, but if they see Slenderman and they think he's like a neutral or benevolent guy, then they might be willing to talk to him. And the last suggestion is just that people are suggestible. So they read these creepypasta stories online, and then they might start seeing Slenderman all over the place. It could just be trees or regular objects, but when you hear about a monster, you start subconsciously looking for it everywhere, or you just happen to see weird shadows and stuff and freak yourself out. So that's about it about Slenderman. If you've made it this far and you're liking the podcast, it'd be really awesome if you could subscribe. Whatever podcasting platform you're using, there should be like a little subscribe button that you can click. It's totally free, and that way you will get new episodes as soon as they come out. Also, if you want to rate and review the podcast, that would really help us out since we're brand new. On Apple Podcasts, you go to the podcast page and scroll to the bottom where it says ratings and reviews and leave them there. And in the next episode, we're going to be talking about cults, everything to do with cults. And just a reminder, if you have a strange, creepy, or weird real-life story that you'd like to share on the show, you can email me, secretgrasp@gmail.com, and you can send in either an MP3 file of yourself telling the story, or you can write it out in an email for me, and I'll read it on the show. But that's about it for this one. We'll be in touch soon.